Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Set to enjoy one of the great weekends in all of sports, Wild Card Weekend. There is some baseball news that we need to start the show with today. And according to league sources and Jim Duquette, BT, my colleague over at SNY, also works at SiriusXM, MLB Radio, Pete Alonso's camp has offered the Mets a three-year deal with opt-outs. He goes on to say this deal is only available to the Mets right now. I mean, come on. What are we doing here? But anyway, that's the latest that Alonso's agent, I'm reading Duquette's tweet here, Alonso's agent Scott Boras declined the comment, but we're at a spot now where Pete is going to the Mets. So all these reports yesterday about the six-year this and the Prince Fielder deal that, like, now it is clear and reported that Pete's camp has gone to the Mets with a short-term deal, which gets me to say, good, get it done. Now, I'm sure it's for more money than maybe the $390 that was earlier.
Yeah, reported. I would hope so. Otherwise, geez.
All right, but what's the short-term deal? Is it 4 years? Is it even if it's four at 120, just get it done and move forward here with Pete Alonso protecting Soto in that lineup.
Listen, I've always respected Pete. I've always also been, not always, but the last couple of years, I don't know that I quite felt this way the first few years of his career. I've always been, or more recently, been a little critical of Pete and his shortcomings, because the last couple of years his contract has obviously popped up on the radar. And it's one thing when you're a young buck and you're, you know, making peanuts and you're hitting 53 bombs and breaking Aaron Judge's rookie home run record. That's one thing, which is amazing. But the depth of the evaluation and some of the criticisms, it expands when you start talking massive contract. And this obviously goes back to 2 years. So I've gone from, and I still always respect Pete, hey, now this is the first time I'm actually like, dude, where's the pride?
Is this Pete or is this Boras?
Doesn't matter. Boras is Pete.
Tail between
the
legs.
At the end of the day. Boras is Pete.
But we don't know how much the financial, let me just finish up with Martino here too, because he has some news just to tag it with. We don't know the financial details of this. Martino chimes in and says Pete Alonso and the Mets are not close to an agreement at this time. Things could happen fast, but they're not happening yet. So that should button up all the latest news on this. But you're saying it looks bad for Pete, and I agree, because like to come to the Mets and say this is only available to you. Like,
I don't think I've ever heard that.
You think Stearns is an 88?
I've never heard that in pro sports.
What are we talking about?
I've heard that at a car dealership. Oh, yeah. Listen, if you sign now, you know, so I'll throw in the mud guards, right, and you know, $2.99 a month, $3.99, yeah, whatever it is.
Only,
yeah, okay, then somebody else
you
walks in, they get the same deal.
Yeah. Only
dishwasher,
for you.
Stereo, sure.
But so now, Pete, conveniently now, after changing agencies and turning down deals, now he's going to give the Mets a little discount. Hey, here you go. I'm doing you a favor, short-term deal. It's such nonsense. What this is meant to do is to put pressure on the Mets, because guys like me are going to come on and say, good, they want a short-term deal, just get it done.
Uh-huh.
Mets fans are going to hear short-term deal, they're going to say, get it done. Because honestly, most fans don't even care short-term, long-term. I get the logistics of it. Bottom line is everybody that is involved with the Mets, meaning the fans, want Pete Alonso back in that lineup because there are no better options. Then you start getting into the finances of it, the long-term deal, all those things. Yeah, obviously you want to be smart, but ultimately, just get the guy in the freaking lineup for this year. So when a story comes out saying that, hey, it's going to be conducive to the team as far as the years go, fans are going to be more backing that. But once we know the financial parameters, what if it's $35 million a year?
Yeah.
At 3 years, would you do that?
Per with the opt out? Yeah.
35 per with opt out.
Yeah, at this point, sure. I mean, listen, I was of the mindset. I said 2 weeks ago, I'm like, and I still think that Pete's going to wind up being a Met. I do. You know, the risk that you and I have hit before is, you know, when the ego gets too bruised to a point, does he just now kind of lash back at the Mets and maybe take a comparable deal somewhere else just to basically stick it to the Mets? I don't know what Pete's mindset is there.
But don't you think this, because I was thinking the same thing as you, don't you think that this news kind of takes that out of the equation?
Well, it does for now, but if the Mets don't embrace this, like, how much lower can Pete go? Like, what's the next step for Pete Alonso?
Right.
What, did you say you can play for the vet minimum? You know, I really want to be a Met. Sign me up for 1 year vet minimum with an opt-out. Where the hell do you go?
I don't think he's
going to... come on. This is getting ridiculous.
I will say this. I don't think he's going to get a higher AAV without even knowing what the details of this latest report are or the latest offer that, Pete's camp is pitching to the Mets. I don't think he's going to get a higher AAV from any other organization. Doesn't mean he couldn't get a deal that's close, whether it's a short-term deal with opt-outs or whatever, that might entice him to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. If he's, in fact, upset with the Mets, I think the Mets will give him the highest AAV over the span of 3 years, just based on what's been out there and using some common sense.
I probably agree.
If you tack on a fourth, I don't know who's going to do that outside the Mets, but then maybe the AAV comes down a little bit. So we need to really find out the financial parameters to figure this out, but just get the deal done. Like, Pete's got no other options. The Mets need him. Don't make him really come back and be upset with his tail between his legs and ticked off. I don't think that helps the Mets or Pete Alonso.
Well, listen, one thing that we learned about Pete, and maybe fragile is the wrong word, but certainly distractions, he didn't seem to to compartmentalize them very well last year when he was playing for a big deal. He had a very subpar season, home run off Devin Williams aside. You know, the regular season, he really did languish, and many of you were calling us and saying, hey, you know what, maybe it's time for Pete to go somewhere else here. And then, of course, hits the home run after he drops the pop-up and the sentiment changes, hit a few more home runs the rest of the way, and you guys want Pete back, and you should want Pete back because Pete needs to be back to protect Juan Soto because the Mets lineup right now is not good enough. Listen, there's a lot without him. There's a lot of things.
And there are no other good options.
True. And I can even make the case, not now because I want to stick to Pete. Even with Pete, they need to upgrade another spot. Yeah. But we've done that enough and we can do that again down the road. The Mets are playing this very, very well. The Mets have sat back. Mets haven't said a word. Anytime Pete's name comes up, we love Pete. We respect Pete. We want Pete back. He's a Met. We get that. They've said the right things, and they're doing the right things because they're letting the market come to them. They're just – now, they might look behind the scenes, and they have to do this because this is business, very cutthroat. Like, they know – that nobody's given Pete 5, 6, 7 years. They've known this for well over a year. Hell, David Stearns almost traded him as soon as David Stearns got here to the Brewers. So that tells you a lot that you need to know.
Well, that was actually before.
I mean, pardon me. That's right. Before, when Stearns was still. The timeline is off on that.
I
meant Cohen was okay with some level.
After, like, we've gotten the news after the fact, I think the timeline was Epler tried to extend Pete. He turned down that deal, and that's when then the reports or rumors swirled about him maybe being on the block.
Yes.
If you
but
go back.
Cohen still had to be okay with it.
Yeah, correct.
Which is my point. You know, the other thing you have to worry about, too, you know, if it's, let's just say, all right, so it's exclusive to the Mets, sure. All right, yeah, okay. And then nobody else has this offer. Yeah, wow, right. Well, what a concession. Amazing. Okay, great. Wow. I mean, it just sounds pathetic, but let's say that it's true. And let's say that it actually happens, and it's a little more AAV. It's 3 years and opt out after every single year. What's different from a pressure perspective for Pete going into 2025 than it was going into 2024? Because he's still weighing the merits and the heaviness, if you will, of, hey, if I put up a monster year, I'm going to opt out. If I don't, I'm not.
See, I just...
What's the difference?
I think it's a great point. I don't just want Pete back. I want Pete back, but also to be happy. And I don't know if that's going to happen now. And the whole, like, even if you didn't, and look, it might, but even if you didn't want Pete back because you were saying, you know, 5, 6 years, I'm not doing that, right?
Uh-huh.
Ridiculous. Nobody's going to give it to him, nor would I. This today, because all the reports prior were that Pete wanted a longer-term deal. That's what we've heard. Up until today, it was all 6 years, Prince Fielder thing. They're trying to maximize it. Like, we heard that it's likely that he's going to have to settle for a shorter-term deal. So now I think Boris and Pete are saying, all right, it's early January here. We're getting close to the pitchers and catchers reporting. Mm-hmm. We don't have many good offers. We have to readjust and change our plan. Let's go make it known that we are willing to take a shorter-term deal, go to the Mets, and put it out there. This is the deal that's only available to them, but the price basically has come down to a short-term deal, which then, to me, puts the pressure back on the Mets, because what circumstance with a short-term deal should the Mets not be involved in Pete Alonso, assuming that he's not asking for a ridiculous $40 million plus a year?
Correct. Every single scenario must include the Mets on a short-term deal.
Yeah. Right?
Now, I would also think, and let's face it, I don't know how Duquette got this. I like Duquette. I think he's really good. He's cool. We've had him on the show a million times back in the day. The wheelhouse. Like, I've known Jimmy for a long time.
I love him. I'm good
friends
with him. Yes.
Great guy. So, and I trust his sources. Now, if I had to take a guess, I think this is coming from Boris's camp, okay? That's just my opinion.
He did say, and you're right, it might be the case, and I don't know, even though I know Duke well. I mean, I might be able to find out at some other point that
sure,
I never
know. Sure, not now,
we
don't know.
Yeah, yeah, and anyway, the point is, he did say in the tweet that Boris was reached for comment and didn't...
And it, well, of course. Okay. Sometimes just, you I'm do that to separate that yourself, understood. And to be fair to Duke, yes. He did tweet that, no doubt. And I'm not casting aspersions, that's business, that's yeah, how you get right, information, right. Not a big deal. But Boris, while he is misplaying Pete's hand... And he crushed it with Soto. He's butchering it with Alonso. Is, you know, this, he's not stupid. Even though he had an awful year last year for his clients, and so far it's been a little all over the map. By Boris, and I believe Boris dropped this, by Boris dropping this, don't you think this might send a message to, I'm just throwing crazy teams out there, the Pirates, the Reds, the Astros,
Seattle, whatever,
the whomever, the Tigers, whatever. Oh, wow. Okay, so it's exclusive to the Mets, which means on some level he's amenable to it. Hell, maybe we tack up $3-5 million AAV and we get the same. I think in a weird way, this might actually open the door for more teams to jump in on a short-term basis.
Well, once you put it out there.
Because nobody wants him for 5 or 6.
Correct. So once you put it out there that the parameters that you're asking for, whatever, that you're open to a short-term deal, and now this is known,
mm-hmm.
then I would think other teams that might be interested in the power would be enticed to
there
get in. I just the
and if that happens, I'm sorry, but if that just this yeah. is important. If that happens and the Mets do want to keep him, then he'll benefit on the back end residually by having more teams involved, and the Mets will have to go up even a little bit more. I'm not saying crazy, but maybe the extra year, but maybe then, an extra $2 or $3 million per year.
But then why the part about, and this is only exclusive to the Mets, is that just to make it like Pete,
it's really, PR, man.
Pete really wants to be back
yeah,
with
he's
the Mets?
To, he's playing to the Met fan right yeah, there. Not even playing to Stearns that, or Cohen. He's my, playing to the Met fan right there.
That's my point.
It's brilliant.
So you're gonna
it's actually
have
smart.
You're going to have the Met fan... And we're going to hear from you guys in a second, 888-808-1019. The Met fan is now going to say, Steve Cohen, David Stearns, what are you doing?
Get it done.
Get it done.
Yep.
BT and Sal on the fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Matt is on Long Beach. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call. Big time Met fan here. It's just a weird time, and you kind of just hit on it, like, it's, everything's unrealistic now. We have all this money. Steve Cohen is a zillionaire. It's like, yeah, let's just go get Pete. And back in the day, it'll be like, I don't want to spend the money because we need. Then we're going to rule us out getting a frontline starter. It's going to rule us out on getting a good bench guy. But the guy's got so much money. It's just such a weird time as a Met fan. It's like, yeah, let's just go get him. But, hey, look, we want to give him 5 years? Sure. Why not? Because if the last 2 years of the contract don't work out, who cares? We have all this money.
Well, Matt, let me jump in for a second. Yeah, you've got more money than anybody. That's been well established, okay? And they've already shown you the willingness to eat the Verlander and the Scherzer money and buy your minor league system, which I thought was brilliant and very ahead of the curve. I think other teams will start to do that down the road. Obviously, what you guys gave Juan Soto, clearly, they've got no reluctance to cut the big check for somebody they want. You're focusing on the money with Pete. You're missing the mark. The Mets don't love him as a player the way some of you do and the way some of you want them to. They just don't. If they loved Pete, this would have been done.
By the way, I don't think it's about them loving Pete or not. It's that they know what type of player he is.
Well, that's what I mean, deficiencies.
Well, I feel like...
I don't mean as a person.
Well, no. I mean even like, it's not that they don't love him as a player.
I don't think they do.
It's that they... know the proper value of him as a player, whereas the Met fan is taking that out of the equation because they value Pete far greater than anybody else values Pete.
Because they're trying to quantify the sentimentality.
Well,
which I understand, which I get as a fan.
Or also, that plus overrating your own players. I mean, I don't know how many times we've had to do that over the years with everybody. Whether it's the Yankee fan overvaluing, overrating their own players, the Giants fan, it happens all the time. Knick fans, R.J. Barrett, he's the greatest thing ever.
Not me, that's one I was right on.
Me too, but I'm saying we may have the ability.
I think
certain fans have the ability to separate themselves from the fandom. I'll tell you this, I didn't have that when I was younger. I used to say Todd Hundley was the best catcher in baseball. And then the Mets got Mike Piazza, and I was like, yeah, Mike Piazza's the best catcher. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I was so blind loyalist to the Mets that I would say Hundley was the best catcher in baseball.
Gotcha.
Even though it's not realistic. So I can understand that part of it. But if you deal in reality, you understand the strengths that Pete Alonso has as a player. You should also understand the value that he has as a player. And I do think there is some value there with Pete. However, him and his agent thought it was far greater than the reality of the market. That's why the Mets said, we'll go to free agency, let the market dictate what you're worth. Pete made a mistake overvaluating himself. I think some Mets fans do the same, but I don't think they don't like him. Sorry, BT. I don't think they don't like him as a player. I just think they put the proper value on what he is.
But I think it's almost the same thing on some level. I don't even want to get too down that rabbit hole. Like, yeah, they value what he does well, but they're very well, so aware of his deficiencies that it changes their overall perception of him, but also ties into the market value that I think you correctly pointed out. There's no doubt about that. But I mean, I think right now, the thing that's a little worrisome, even though I still think he winds up with the Mets, if something wacky happens, you guys are at a pinch.
Well, that to me is the biggest issue here. Because I think when you go into the offseason, there are many options available. My first option was Soto and Adames. Now, if that's unrealistic because of the money, okay, so be it. But Adames was off the board before Soto became off the board. So my best option to replace Pete was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And now since then, many other options are now gone. Whatever it may be, there's many bats. You know who they are. They're off. It's not just first baseman, just in general. Off the market. So the Mets are in a spot where I don't see a better. It's been reported what their other options are. Martino has said it. The other options are going to be from within. That's what's going to happen. So it's going to be Beatty, Mauricio. So ask yourself this. You want them to go with that again from within and either move Vientos to third or rely on one of these other guys to play first a little bit, maybe add a DH, but not really replace that impact bat, or bring Pete back. Like, to me, it's pretty simple. It's got to be Pete.
I mean, listen, Stearns is too smart not to have multiple plans. Like, Cashman had multiple plans, and I think it was an awesome pivot. I still want to see one more bat somewhere in the infield, second or third, as we know. But Stearns has multiple plans. So if, let's just say, that the Alonso ship sails and he goes somewhere else, you know, can you go, and we hit this a little bit yesterday, Luis Arraez, put him at first base, right? Or even DH him, and I know you won't love this, but it's a possible option. Go out there and get Santander, who had 44 home runs last year.
Right, and what, DH him?
I don't love Santander. Yeah. I don't love him for the Yankees. I don't love him for you either, but there are other options, I guess, but this is really a strange, complex negotiation because what Pete's good at, he's amazing at. He means so much to the fans, but what he's not good at is a big problem.
Joe is on Rhode Island. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe. Whoa.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Joe.
I just wanted to comment on the can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to comment real quick on the Pete Alonso thing. I'm a Yankee fan, but I just hear all the time about, I don't know how you expect Pete to not feel this way. You watch Lindor come in, elite athlete, it's a huge deal. Then you watch homegrown Nimmo get an 8-year, $160 million deal, and then $800 million to Soto. Is Nimmo that much better than Pete Alonso for the Mets, that he deserves 8 years and Pete only deserves
that was dumb.
Two?
I don't think it was dumb.
I don't like it.
Again, it was what the market dictated. Remember, the Mets had to go above and beyond to get Nimmo because many other teams were involved in
him.
I think it was the extra year. So it was what the market said, and the reason is, Joe, and thank you for the call, and I agree with Joe, that if you're Pete, put yourself in Pete's shoes, whether you believe in Pete as a player or not, whether you give him $150 million, $80 million, whatever, doesn't matter. Put yourself in his shoes. All those points that Joe just laid out, I'd be ticked off too.
Mm-hmm.
To a point where I'd say, okay, you don't want to pay me what I think I'm worth. I'm going to go somewhere else, assuming that all things are equal, and I'm going to show you how much I'm worth.
I agree with you.
Now, I don't know if Pete's got the same stuff in him that I have in me, but I'm just saying, like, that's the personal. Like, Pete, in a walk year, had a chance to prove himself.
I know.
Where the owner said, I hope he hits 50 home runs and makes this difficult. He didn't. He wilted like a little flower until the postseason. I mean, that's just the reality of the case. So, and part of it, this is part Pete's fault for not producing the last couple years.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, we all thought it was over when he dropped the pop-up. We thought it was over. And then he hits, you know, one of the most improbable home runs, and certainly one of the most amazing home runs in New York history. And things changed, but Pete the player didn't change. Just the reaction to Pete changed. So it's still the same complex evaluation. It's not like he got a little quicker or a little younger or suddenly he's the lefty hitter or suddenly his batting average. I know it's an antiquated stat, but you don't like to see the batting average drop 2 years in a row, even though 2 years ago it was worse and it was an uptick from 2 years ago last year, but you know what I mean. I just think that Pete, yeah, I do. I'm with you on this. Like, if this keeps going in this direction, I'm going to say, Boris, call the Phillies. Get me in that bandbox. Get me in that lineup. Give me $40 million.
Exactly.
And I'm going to smash 55 home runs and shove it up their ass.
If Pete had that in him, he would say, get me a one-year deal for the highest AAV and let me do this again the right way. And I'm going to go prove myself and hit 50 bombs, and then somebody's going to give me a big tour. Now, by the way, BT, even if he does that,
he's still not going to get what
bingo.
He thinks he's going to get.
Because of the value. This is not,
of his age,
this
and
is
he's
not,
a righty.
Yeah, this is not,
first baseman.
That's what I'm saying before. Like, I don't think this is a Mets or Boris failing thing or the Mets don't want him thing. This is a market thing. The market is telling you what the value is on Pete Alonso, so much so that it's come down to where Pete is now, his camp reaching out to the Mets with a shorter term deal that's quote unquote exclusive to the Mets at this particular point. We'll see how that works out. BT, we'll continue with your calls here. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Just getting started on this Football Friday. BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We'll react to the game last night and what that means moving forward for the quarterback situation for the Giants and the draft. We'll get into Wild Card Weekend. Looking forward to that. Also, the Jets head coaching search continues. Aaron Glenn made an interesting decision today or yesterday, so we could get to that. But we start with Pete Alonso and the idea from Jim Duquette reporting that Alonso's camp has come to the Mets with a 3-year short-term deal with opt-outs. And now I guess everybody would expect the Mets to react. We don't know the financial parameters. I mean, what do you think it is, BT? If we heard the 3-for-90 being floated out there, what would you guess that Pete's camp is coming to the Mets with?
I would say the AAV is around 37.5.
Right
around
I think
there.
You're right. I was going to say 35, but you're probably right.
Yeah, about 22, 23 more in totality.
Maybe they start with 40. Who knows?
They could. And then you maybe get to 37.5 and you have a deal.
Would you give him, so 35 for 3 is 105. Would you do that?
35 a year for 3 years? Yeah, I probably would. I wouldn't love it if I'm Cohen and Stearns. I don't know that I would love doing that, but they offered him 3 years at 30. And you know, I mean, I'm sure they strongly thought that he wouldn't take it. But when you place an offer on the table, there's always the risk that somebody does take it. So if you're willing to give up 3 years for 90 mil, what the hell's the damn difference?
All right, well, let's say that you just brought up a good point. Baerga had it out there that the Mets offered him 3 years for 90, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard, now again, I'm not like some reporter or anything like that, but I heard that that was true, that I could confirm that that offer was legit. If that was the case, and maybe I'm starting to doubt it now a little bit, because if that were the case, why would then Boris's camp have to offer the Mets a 3-year deal? And if they did, then the Mets were at reportedly 390,
mm-hmm.
3-for-90. How much can it be? Like,
well,
what are we talking about
here? But I think you have to also incorporate the opt-outs. Maybe the Mets, I don't know why the Mets wouldn't be willing to have an opt-out after 1, 2, and 3. It's probably that, and it's definitely more money. So I think when you incorporate, you know, whether it's $5, $6, $7 million a year,
more,
which is $21 million if it's 7 over 3, and then you throw in,
which is just like a 4-year deal for what he's really potentially worth.
True, right? Absolutely true. And then you throw in the opt-ins or the opt-outs. There's some more negotiating that needs to happen. But it doesn't seem radically different, to your point. It's not that different.
I would just give him the offer to me that splits the baby and makes everybody somewhat happy. I mean, you could have an opt-out in there if you'd like, which would more motivate Pete, although I'd worry about that based on what we saw the last couple years. But I would go 4 years, 120, get it done. You're getting your $30 million a year. If you want to have an opt-out in there after the first year, I'd be okay with that.
Yep.
Because you would think, theoretically, it would motivate him. But that kind of 120 for 4 years, $30 million a year for 4 years, that's going to give him security that he's not going to get probably anywhere else. So I'd rather Pete have that security. And maybe I eliminate the opt-out, honestly, BT, in that scenario, because I don't want that weighing over him anymore.
Yeah, but that's a new way of business. The opt-outs, that would almost be disrespectful.
Then, okay, but then
you
got to
give an opt-out.
But then I'm not going to go to 4 years. So then, okay, then let's dial back. My perfect scenario would be 4 years, $120 million. You're getting $30 million a year guaranteed for the next 4 years. No opt-outs. Take it. it or leave it. He wants to leave it. Okay, fine. Then let's renegotiate the parameters. You want to opt out? Here's a 2-year deal.
Yeah, but why are we nitpicking at that point? Well, like, because, that seems a little unnecessary to me.
No, I don't. I'm willing to give him 4 years guaranteed for 120. He's not getting close to that.
No, I get you, but then just throw in the opt out after 2 years. What's the difference?
Because I think the opt out hurts.
No, I know what you're saying.
I'll do the opt out then for less money. Or less, so then...
How about, okay, maybe I'll meet you in the middle here, because it's going to... It's, you know when somebody signs an NFL contract, it always sounds so much better than it really is. You got to get to the guaranteed money, et cetera. So, how about 4 years, no opt-outs,
right,
and a fifth year, which is the Mets option. The Mets option with a smallish buyout.
I'm fine with that. Let's say 20.
Whatever it might be, 15, 18. I don't know. They can figure that out.
Yeah, we did this yesterday on Baseball Night in New York. Draw the line. Like, where would you draw the line on Pete Alonso? For me, geez, I forget what. I think it was 140. I would draw, because, like, if I want to get him for four for 120,
yeah.
To your point, like, if he needs an extra $20 million,
You'll do it.
Yeah, let's do it. I don't care. Now, that would lower the AAV.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't do 140 for 4 years.
I know what you're saying.
I would do what you just said. I'll give you the, it's our choice, maybe for the fifth year, even if it's his choice, whatever. Get the player option, that's fine, but for $20 million for the fifth year. So now you get him for 5 years, 140, you're lowering the AAV, you've got him committed to where he could make 140, he's not going to beat that. That would have been the same offer that you gave him a couple years ago that he turned down anyway, like,
Save some face.
Yeah, to me,
he
like,
can feel good about
happy.
It.
Now, would the Mets be overpaying by, let's say, $40 million? Where nobody, okay, maybe, but you know what? That $40 million could go a longer way. You make him happier, and you lower the AAV, which could help you anyway. So, to me, that would be my max. I am not extending anything beyond $140 million total.
See, I'm always less concerned about the actual money, and I'm more concerned with him with the years. I don't want him. I want him less. I don't really even want him now for more than a couple of years. I want him less as he gets older. I'd rather give him some more money when he's 30, 31, 32, and then be able to get rid of him.
So you'd rather do the three-year 90 than...
I'd go 3 years... 120. I don't care about the money.
Yeah, but see, to me, that doesn't make any sense. We keep having the same argument. If you were to employ somebody for $120 million, you're spending $120 million. Why wouldn't you want them to work for you an additional year?
Because if I don't think they're going to be an asset to my company, or at least a diminished return, I would prefer to pay a premium up front while they're still in their prime. That's why.
But
that's where you and I fundamentally disagree.
Right, but let's just
always come back to this.
Right, but let's just say that you spent the 120 or whatever we said.
Like a sunken cost kind of deal.
Yeah. Over the course of 3-4 years, like, even if you didn't like it by the fourth year, you just move on.
Well,
like,
let me ask you this, though. From a Yankee perspective, do you think that they wish that DJ LeMahieu was gone? I know that I do.
Right, but
Giancarlo Stanton had one less year? I know that I do.
Right, but you can still just
move on. I know it's the same money. I know that. But
like the money spent.
But you can still make your team better. Like, if DJ's not on the team, it's only $13 million, whatever. Yeah. But if DJ LeMahieu's not on the team this year, then their plan is less scattered because he's not here. You don't have to deal with, well, if he's healthy, can he play first? Can he give Goldschmidt a blow? Can he play third? He's gone.
If there were,
he's done.
If there were a salary cap, maybe it would make more sense. There is no salary cap.
You and I disagree on this. Yeah. I'd rather have the older or at least aging player gone. And I understand that you're spending the same amount of money.
Like Max Fried is a great example.
Yeah.
Nobody wants him for 8 years. But the Yankees did it, figuring, all right, well, this is the total that we got to get to. I'd rather get to that total over the course of 8 years than 6 or 7.
We go back and forth on this.
And you're going to be stuck with him. But, like, for me, all right, well, whatever. I'd rather have that spread out. The 7, 8 years doesn't really matter. It's the $218 million that you're committing to this player that you hope he's good and worth it for. And by the back end of it, if you don't like him, same thing with Soto. By year 13, 14, 15, like, you're expecting to take it on the chin. You just either move on from him, you eat the money. Like, you're either spending that money now or you're spending that money later.
Understood. But what's more appealing? Let's take Lindor. Yeah. Lindor is still in his prime. What does he have? 11 years to go? I might be off on that. Less than that? 9?
Did he only sign 11 total?
Maybe he signed 11 total. Yeah, the other guys were like 13 years. Machado, Harper.
Because it was a 10-year extension, I think, at the time.
And they had him for the remaining year. Well whatever. I'm just going to If I'm wrong, my bad. Hoff, you can correct me.
The extension was 10 years, 341.
So what do we got left here with Lindor?
Well, he's been 4 years, right?
Yeah, and this is year 4 now. Including 2025, he's got 8 years left.
Okay. So I think we would, even though he's a terrific player, at this point, wouldn't we all agree that...
Seven left? You got 7
to go? All right. Wouldn't you rather have Lindor under contract for 5 more years. Think about this. At the same amount of money in totality, whatever the actual value of the deal
that
remains.
But then you're paying higher AAV.
But hear me out. And now I don't have to worry about, all right, he lost his burst, he can't play shortstop. Like, that problem is gone. I'm paying him a little bit more, but I'm paying him a little bit more when his powers are higher. That's all I'm saying.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Anthony is calling from Manalapan. What's up, Ant?
Hey, Ant.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm just a little confused. You know, I know Steve Cohen's got a ton of money, and, you know, he's definitely more willing, as he's shown, to spend that money. But that doesn't mean he should make bad business decisions. I mean, he's a businessman.
Yep.
I mean, people are calling saying that he should just be throwing his money, you know, and who cares if it doesn't work out. I mean, you know, it's still money that, you know, he has. He's not going to throw it in the trash.
Yeah. Yeah, but, Ant, I agree with that, and I've said that before, but I think it's a little different with Pete because if it's all about the money, and at the end of the day, I guess it always is with everything, Pete Alonso, if he stays healthy, is going to stretch Steve Cohen's dollar further than Santander, or if they would have brought in Bellinger, or even Sean Manaea, who didn't start here. Like, if he hits 500 home runs, this is part of the equation.
Right.
If he hits the 500 home runs, I can't quantify this now because I don't know what the Mets' attendance, like, if they're amazing in 3 years like they were in the 80s, then it'll be full anyway. But God forbid if Soto got hurt or Soto stays healthy and the Mets aren't that good, which I don't think. But if that happened, but you now have Alonso chasing 5 bills, well, you might have 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people, more people at the park every night. You know, parking, concessions, all the other stuff, the merch. And you. So it is about the money. I don't think it's not the same. If you give Pete Alonso, I'm just going to use round whole numbers, simple. If you give Pete Alonso $100 million and you give Santander $100 million, the value with Pete is definitely more, even though it's the same amount of money, because he means more to the fans and the fans will spend to watch Pete
and
more than Santander.
Agreed. And but you can't use the logic of, well, the owner's rich, what's the difference with the money? Like, we've seen, yeah, okay, he's a billionaire however many times over, but you still got to run a baseball team and a business operation, and you let the market dictate what you would be paying these players. They did the same thing for Brandon Nimmo. It wasn't that they liked Nimmo more. It was that the market liked Nimmo more. That's why they paid him the 8 years, whatever it was, that he ended up getting. It's not that Nimmo's a better player. The market said Nimmo's skill set is more valuable than what the market is saying Pete Alonso's skill set is right now. By the way, the Mets, at the time they paid Lindor, the market was far different than where it is now, and they were also in a different spot as a franchise where they had to overpay.
Yes, yes.
Here's the other way that I would put this, BT. The market, you use this analogy all the time or example with the housing market.
Mm-hmm.
You need a house, right? If you're looking to buy a house, clearly you need one. You're in the market for a house. The prices, though, aren't what you really want to pay. They're higher than what you think the house is worth.
Yep.
But you need one.
Yeah, as are the mortgage rates. Both are higher. The price of the home and the mortgage rates.
And all the other options aren't good enough.
You can rent. You can move. Yeah. That might not be appealing to you.
Well, I'm saying that, like, you could buy a cheaper house maybe than what you want, but you really don't want that, and you're still paying a lot for that anyway.
Yeah.
You're overpaying for a cheaper one, or you're going to overpay for the one that you want, or you can sit back and decide to rent. The Mets, to me, need a house in Pete Alonso. The market is saying what he is worth here. Now, they might have to slightly overpay. Otherwise, they got to continue renting with the current lineup without protection for Juan Soto.
I got
you. So even though the market is saying Pete is going to have to take a shorter-term deal, the Mets still might have to slightly overpay, even though the market is saying what it is, to get the better house.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's time to step up like a big boy. Like, they can't just say, well, you know what, we're going to rent again and go with Mauricio and Beatty.
I feel you.
Like, just extend for the 120 or whatever.
Well, this is all posturing.
I know, but it still hasn't gotten done yet. And now, so much so that we're down to knowing that Pete and his camp are willing to give them a 3-year deal.
Well, I would think that news or that concession, that information would spark a change, or at least a more aggressive mindset on the part of the Mets, which should facilitate a deal. You don't think he's done by? You don't think he's signed by February 1?
I think he's going to be done before that.
Yeah, so do I.
My gut. See, today you're right, and as this has been going on, I felt like more and more there was going to be a divorce here. I feel like with today's news, if the Mets can't get a short-term deal done, a three-year deal done with Pete Alonso, then I think that we've got some. Then, to your point, then they really don't like the player. 888, not personally, I'm talking about the player. 888-808-1019. We'll continue with your calls. BT and Sal on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. We'll continue with your calls here. Talking Pete Alonso this morning off of the news from Jim Duquette that the Mets camp, that Alonso's camp has reached out to the Mets and offered them a three-year deal. We don't know the details as far as the finances go, BT, but a three-year deal nonetheless with some opt-outs. I'm sure we'll get the financial part of that at some point. It'll start to trickle out. There is some news in the NFL about the head coaching search. This is from Tom Pelissero.
He's pretty good, Tom. He's been on top of some stuff.
Yeah, he has been on a year.
Yeah, we've said his name a few times.
After several days of discussions about the 2024 season and the future, Cowboys owner Jerry Jones and coach Mike McCarthy remain open to moving forward together, and the sides are expected to open talks today on a new contract to keep him in Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, they said you can't even talk to the Bears, so that was the first sign that they valued him and wanted to retain him. Interesting. Probably not going to ever win another Super Bowl with him. I mean, he's good. He's not great.
I don't think he's the problem,
I'm not saying he's the problem. He's not the answer, though.
I don't know, man. I think this year, I love coaches where you go through adversity in season and you figure it out. Like, I thought the Cowboys was going to be awful this year, especially after Dak went down. And they kind of righted the ship. They even could have won that last game of the year to get themselves to 8 wins. Would they finish 7-10? It could have been 8-9 this year in an otherwise lost year. Keeping that together with the pressure of being a Cowboys head coach. I like McCarthy. I know he's, look, in-game he's sloppy, and a lot of guys are. I mean, it's an epidemic around the sport. But I don't think he's the problem. I think Jerry meddling is the problem.
Oh, that's definitely the biggest
issue. The contracts, the ego.
The expectations there. Right. It's tough.
You like Dak or no?
I do.
You think he could spin it?
You're an ass. not like our boy last night. We'll get to that.
Oh, yeah, boy, I know, Al. We're going to get to that.
I think Dak is good.
You heard Boomer and Gio making fun of you a little bit with that this morning?
No.
That's why I bring it up.
Ooh.
Yeah, they were saying.
Is this something I need to investigate?
Well, yesterday when you were talking about Aller yesterday, yeah.
Has Gio ever heard of the kid before?
I barely have. So I'm with you. No, but so you were talking about throwing it in MetLife.
Yeah,
and you said like he could spin it.
I did say
he can flip it,
he'd flick it, fling it.
And there
whatever.
Was a, yeah, flip whatever. It. There was another word.
Fire it.
And when you said it, like naturally, the first thing when I hear you say
Tim Boyle.
Yeah, of course. But I let it go because I'm like, let's move on from that.
Yeah.
But then they were playing your cut again.
Oh boy!
So I was like, I was take a step down.
I was gonna like go with the alliteration. He can flip it. He can fling it. He can fire it.
Yeah, no, but you definitely said spin it. Anyway, point is, like, I never thought Dak was that guy.
Yeah.
And then I got to a point where I'm like, look around the league.
I'm much more of a fan than I'm not.
Yeah,
he's good.
I was gonna use McCarthy, but he won a Super Bowl. Like Andy Reid, before he broke through in the postseason, was looked at as a head coach who couldn't win the big game. Right, with Philadelphia, all those years losing the championship games or even getting to the Super Bowl, then losing the Super Bowl. Then he goes to the Chiefs, and now all of a sudden he's looked at it as one of the greatest coaches. So even to a quarterback, and we could use the same thing with Mike Schmidt with the Phillies, talking about that special that we saw recently.
Phenomenal.
When you compare it to Aaron Judge, you could say the
Bill
same
Cower.
Thing. Bill
Cowher? Yeah. How many AFC championship games did he lose in Pittsburgh? Couple.
Right, so it's
before
really...
Before he cracked through.
So the point is about Dak, like, he can't get it done in the postseason. Yeah, but like... When we really step back and evaluate it, Bill Cowher's an excellent one because now he's like revered as a legend and great coach. But for years it was like, this guy can't win the big game. All it takes is that one run to change everybody's perception. And I really don't think it should be about that. I think you could be a great coach.
I agree.
Or a great quarterback or player without winning the championship or being a great postseason performer.
Sal, the circumstances that we just choose to ignore, either people just aren't invested enough to know the details so they can't provide them, or they're just lazy, or there's an agenda. But, you know, you're not great. Like, you're not great without, you know, in football, 10 guys around you, if you're a quarterback or a staff that knows what they're doing, if you're not healthy. I mean, look at Giannis. I mean, Giannis won a championship. And, you know, now he's off the hook. And I'm not saying that Ewing is better than Giannis. They're very different. But Charles Barkley very well may have been better than Giannis. If I'm starting a team, I'm taking Charles Barkley over Giannis. I just am. But yet Giannis is a champion, so he's going to kind of get treated differently moving forward. It's just a lot of context that gets diluted over the years. And it bothers me, but I try to fight back on it. And sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't.
Now, I do think there is something to being a postseason performer where you have guys thrive in the spotlight of the postseason versus guys who maybe don't get the job done.
Yeah.
And, you know, to tie it back to Pete Alonso, Pete kind of saved any shot that he had of wanting the Mets fans wanting him back because he had a big postseason. Or at least a postseason where he had that huge home run in Milwaukee, followed up playing well against Philadelphia.
What, he had four? I think he had four in the postseason. I think it was four.
So,
but, a couple the other way, yeah.
Right, so he had an impactful postseason, and I could speak for myself, and I think others, I don't think I'm alone in this, that impact in the postseason changed the entire feel of what was otherwise an immensely frustrating season for Alonso.
That's a good point. Pete's a prime example. I'll give you another one. Somebody from back in the day and somebody right now who's going through it. And he's wearing it until he doesn't. I mean, you know, 1 through 162, I'll take Aaron Judge every day over Reggie Jackson.
Right.
October, let's go, Reg.
Right.
And not even close.
Pete had 4 and 10. What do you say there, Hoff?
Four home runs. 4 home runs, 10 RBIs, 999 OPS.
I mean, the OPS was that high?
Yeah.
That's a big postseason.
Hey, Hoff, can I ask you a question? You've been pretty quiet on this stuff. I know we talk off the air, but, you know, you hear what me and Sal say. You know, you do the stuff with Ev. You do shows as well. Like, if by chance he winds up somewhere else, because you seem to process the sentimental stuff a little differently than Sal. How broken will you be if Pete Alonso's not on the Mets?
I'm going to be furious because there's no reason why Pete Alonso shouldn't be on the Mets, because if we're just talking a few dollars, just pay the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I feel like, and this is just me, I feel like David Stearns doesn't really want him, so he's trying to find a way to easily push him out, find a contract somewhere else, and be like, listen, he chose to move on somewhere else.
This is how it's going to play out. Like, Stearns has his beliefs and what he would be willing to extend and what he values Pete as a player, but it's ultimately going to come down to Steve Cohen, because especially when you're now talking with a 3-year deal parameter.
Yeah.
Like, how could you justify letting Pete Alonso walk for 3 years if Cohen's just going to come in and say, screw it, give him the $35 million a year, whatever the AAV is over the 3 years to keep him here? Like, don't you think that that's going to be the case? Cohen's just going to override Stearns to get this done?
Well, I don't know at this point. I think that it should be the case, and I think up until the last 2 months it would be the case.
Would you want that to be the case, though? Because we talk about owners meddling.
That's a great question. That's a great volley back. I think in this instance, I mean, you hired Stearns to map this thing out long term. The early signs were very good. I think with Pete, I would not have an issue if Stevie flexes a little bit. Like, even if Mara would have flexed a little more with Saquon, I know he said, I'm not going to sleep, but if he would have been, hey, listen,
can't get this done.
Yeah. You guys do whatever. Just make sure this man's playing week one for the Giants. If Stevie does that, I wouldn't have an issue with the Pete.
Yeah.
Would you?
I'm torn because I think the best baseball move right now is to get Pete Alonso back in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what I would be saying if I were Stearns is, Or if I were Cohen, hey, you don't want Alonso, right? Because we're under the assumption that Stearns doesn't love Alonso.
That's fair.
So if I'm Cohen, I say, that's great. You don't want Pete? Who do you want? Who are you going to get in here?
Did you have to yell like
that?
Yeah,
I would. Because I'd be frustrated. I'd be like, David, come on in. Come on in.
Sit down,
have a
Dave.
Seat. I mean, I got you, Soto. Like, let's be honest. You weren't getting Soto. I got you, Soto. Okay? I'm the billionaire. You work for me. I decided I want him. I got him away from the Yankees. Now it's your job to build the rest of the team. You don't like Pete Alonso? Okay, great. Then who are you going to get to hit behind my $800 million investment? Go ahead, David, I'm all ears.
This guy's off
the board. That guy's off the board. You're the genius, right? Well, who is it? Who's it going to be? Brett Beatty? Ronnie Mauricio? I don't know if I were you, David, if I'd be putting myself, pressure on myself like that. So that's what...
You struck a voice there that was half Dice and half Seinfeld. And it's not the first time you did it. I laugh every single time.
Those guys have had a major influence
on
me. But
I would say that if Cohen asked him that, although I'm quite sure Stevie doesn't present it quite that way, in Cohen's own way, when he does ask that, I guarantee that Stearns has a good answer.
Yeah. You think so?
I guarantee
it. Yeah, but the reported answers right now are from
within.
That's
the reported answers.
You think there's something else?
I think that Stearns is a very smart guy.
And to be fair, I do trust Stearns. And point is, that it can't just be that, though. I trust Stearns to a certain extent. I would assume that he's got other plans, but maybe they're long-term plans. I need something now this year as opposed to just sitting back and trusting Stearns wholeheartedly replacing. Now, again, we did the math. Like, Alvarez has a better year. Soto in. You know, they could be better. They upgrade in center field offensively with Siri more pop than Bader. Like, you could make the case. Maybe they get more production from the DH spot, whoever that is. Maybe they get a rise, whatever. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you can make the case that they could be better offensively, maybe stay the same or a little bit better in the rotation, probably better in the bullpen. That's what they're going to be selling. And look what we did last year. Just for me, that's just not good enough. Now you went all in with Soto. Just finish the job.
I'd be a little worried about those paltry Fangraph projections that I was...
The Zips projections? Yeah, you get lost with that. BT and Sal, all the fan... For both the Mets and the Yankees, Zips was off. BT and Sal, all the fan. Come back. More of your calls. 888-808-1019 on the...